Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Are we on the verge of seeing the end of the core three for the Chicago Bulls when it comes to DeMar DeRozan, Zach LaVine, and Nikola Vucevic, who all still currently right now remain on the Chicago Bulls roster? Well, except DeMar, as he's about to become an unrestricted free agent. We're going to talk about the future of those three guys and kind of all the rumors surrounding them. And then we're going to look at how the new young core of the Chicago Bulls really does fit when you look at adding Josh Giddey and Matis Bucilis to the young players already on the Chicago Bulls roster. We're going to get all that plus a little bit of the mailbag right after this.
You are now tuned in to Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for all things Chicago Bulls, hosted by Hayes.
What's going on, Bulls fans? Welcome to another episode of Chicago Bulls Central, your number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related. Let's get into it for today. And so a lot of rumors are surrounding the Chicago Bulls right now, a lot that do make sense in a lot of ways as well, right? First up, DeMar DeRozan. When you look at it, the Bulls and DeMar DeRozan reportedly aren't even negotiating a new deal, and he will become an unrestricted free agent on June 30th. And, you know, it's many people have speculated now that the writing's on the wall. When you look at the direction of the Bulls roster seems to be going down, the fact of getting younger, it may just not be an environment for DeMar DeRozan anymore, as he may be looking for, to chase an NBA title, to chase a ring. Now, that is all speculation, right? And I got to, you know, be fair in the way that we talk about all of this is the fact that, you know, it just comes down to it's a lot of talk around DeMar. Now, I haven't really heard a whole hell of a lot, DeMar. Matter of fact, if we go off the last words that we've heard from DeMar, he would love to retire a Bull. But we all kind of understand the realities, especially in the NBA as things move forward, is that players' desires, teams' desires, want, and sometimes it just those things do not converge and overlap. And then you end up with a separation. And it seems like DeMar right now is heading to that route with the Chicago Bulls. No contract being discussed. Last time the Bulls offered him a two-year deal at over $40 million. He did not take that. We don't know if it was the number of years, the money, combination of the two. And DeMar still offers an ability to be a player that is signed and traded this offseason, mainly because of most teams that are going to be interested in the services of DeMar DeRozan are probably going to be right up against the salary cap, or if not, into the luxury tax already. And unless DeMar plans on taking a mid-level exception to join a team, a team's going to have to create a little bit more space to get DeMar. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to have to pursue a sign and trade. And the Bulls really, in that case, have no power. A lot of Bulls fans, I think, talk about the sign and trade as if it's something that the Bulls really can control. They really can't. Outside of a team wanting DeMar DeRozan, making that decision, calling the Chicago Bulls and saying, hey, Bulls, we want DeMar. We're going to find a way to get him, but it'll be easier if we can work out a sign and trade for you. We're just going to, you know, we got a player at $10 million. We're going to throw you the rest. We'll be able to cover with the rest of what we have. You know, if you can do that, we can throw you a heavily protected first. More than likely, it's going to be a second. And that's how sign and trades typically go. When the Bulls gave up a first round pick in a sign and trade to even sign DeMar DeRozan, that's typically a rare thing. That's not something that happens a whole lot. So I don't really have high hopes that the Bulls really get a first-round pick unless, you know, it's one of those teams like the Clippers, or for example, that truly think that this is a move that gets them into being a championship contender, and then they're willing to give a first because that first-round pick's probably going to be between 20 and 25, right, or 28, something like that. So you know, with those chances, maybe the Bulls do get a heavily protected first. Probably not going to be in 2025, which is one of the deeper drafts, but that's the opportunity that the Bulls do have when it comes to DeMar DeRozan. Zach LaVine, we all know Zach LaVine's being shopped. He has been being shopped since before the trade deadline last year. And it really comes down to if a team is willing to risk it for Zach LaVine. More than likely, I don't expect Zach to be traded before the second wave of free agency, as teams probably miss out on maybe their first and even second targets in free agents. See, maybe then they pivot towards Zach LaVine. But there was recently a move done in the NBA that could maybe point towards that being a different case. I want to talk about that fairly as well. You look at the Kings, they made a trade sending Davion Mitchell out and not taking back as much salary. This now leaves the Sacramento Kings beneath the luxury tax. And if the Kings were to trade Harrison Barnes and Kevin Huerter, which keeps being the rumored deal, if they were to make that trade for Zach LaVine, they still actually would stay under the luxury tax as well. That's a key in this. Now, we're not saying that the Kings are necessarily going to use that flexibility to bring in Zach LaVine, because nobody can guarantee that. They could use that flexibility elsewhere, as they are a team that needs some defense. They are a team that needs some depth. They could look to do a lot of things with that. But when you pair that with the rumors that the Kings are the front runner to land Zach LaVine, it at least pushes them in a position to where they're able to do that and still avoid the luxury tax, which, honestly, if you're able to add a player that's over a $40 million contract and stay beneath the luxury tax while only sending out two role players, that's a pretty good deal. Now, the question just remains is that what they're really trying to do in Sacramento, especially after keeping Malik Monk, who, you know, theoretically, you would think that he brings some of what Zach LaVine brings as far as three-point shooting, some scoring, not similar players at all, but that could very well put a dampening on their even need to get a player like Zach LaVine, and they could focus on using that money elsewhere that are bigger needs for that roster. But for the nature of the conversation, the Kings theoretically have opened up enough space now to where in that rumored trade for Zach LaVine, they would not be going into the luxury tax, which, again, could be desirable for a team, as teams really do look to avoid that second tax apron as much. If you can avoid the luxury tax, much less the second tax apron, and still have a team that you truly feel makes you competitive in your conference, that's a really good move for the Kings. We just got to see if that's what they end up actually being even interested in, much less executing. But Zach LaVine seems to be on his way out as well. And then yesterday, we got kind of added rumors that the Bulls are looking to move on from Nikola Vucevic. I actually dropped a late night video on that, so you guys may have seen me kind of touch on that already. When it comes to it as well, there is the fact that, all right, if the Bulls are looking to move Vooch, what can you realistically get back for a player that still productive, still averaging a double-double? I've said it before. Us as Bulls fans, that we see his flaws, we see how it didn't really work with the makeup of this team, and we try to label Vooch as trash. Vooch isn't. Vooch is still a player that can definitely help teams win basketball games, especially if you're a team that is better suited to kind of counteract his defensive liabilities and he doesn't have to become a three-point shooter. If you're a team with solid defense and three-point shooting, Vooch can help you out a lot with his creation in the mid-range, his passing, his ability to get to the rim, high post pick and rolls, things like that. He still is a player that can very well help you, but then you got to ask yourself, what would it take to move a Nikola Vucevic? Do the Bulls have to be the one to give up an asset to make that happen? What are the Bulls getting back? Is it just a vet on an expiring deal? Maybe a second or two? It comes down to how motivated the Bulls are to move off of Vooch, considering that as of right now, they have no center replacement for him. Adama Sanogo, as much as he did show in the G League, and I do hope he gets an opportunity to play center at the NBA level as a backup, he hasn't shown enough to be a starting level center for the Bulls. Now, some could say that, well, hey, maybe they don't care about that. A team that's going younger, maybe they're looking to maximize their chance to keep their 2025 pick. Maybe they do not care about having a actual starting caliber center. And maybe we do run it back with Adama Sanogo, maybe sign whatever vet center that we can get on the league that's reasonable on a shorter term contract. And that could very well be a possibility. I think when you pair in the Clint Capella rumors that weren't necessarily centered around Vooch, but if it is a three-team trade where you're sending Vooch to another team, you're taking the salary that they're using to match to dump to Atlanta, you get Clint Capella, as they could be looking to move on. Again, this is a lot of speculation around that right now, I admit, but you know that is maybe the situation that you're looking for. But all members of the core three, the mid three, whatever you want to call them, have their own trade rumors around them. So with that said, that's kind of the thought process there. That's moving out the old guard of the Chicago Bulls. And then you got to start taking a look at how does the young players that we have fit together so far, right? Because it could very well change. A move or two can change that a lot. When you look at it, the Bulls were the 11th oldest team in the league last year at an average age of almost 27 years old, which is crazy to think that that puts you as one of the oldest teams in the league, right? In as far as the almost in the top 10 as far as old teams in the league at being 27, but that was there. And when you look at already sending out Alex Caruso for Josh Giddey, that gets you younger. Losing Torrey Craig, losing Andre Drummond, that would help out, you know, get the Bulls that theoretically get younger as well. So when you look at it, how does the young Bulls fit together? You got Josh Giddey and Coby White, who are projected to be your starting backcourt if you move on from Zach LaVine. And Josh Giddey, 21 years old. Coby White, 24 years old. And when you look at it, this is a backcourt that brings shot creation from Josh Giddey. He is a playmaker, despite the number of assists that he averaged. He is playmakers. I've already talked about it. He's actually in the 90th percentile in the NBA of open shots created by other teammates. So the reason why I like using that stat in this type of conversation, it's not a great stat overall, but in this type of conversation, the reason why I like to use that is because he can create open shots. It doesn't mean that his teammates are always going to hit it. So I think when you look at that in the shot creation, to put him in almost the 90th percentile, that's a really good number to be at. And we've seen him before, like I say, have triple-doubles, things like that. He also has a passer rating that's in the 91st percentile as well. That's the quality, the number of quality shots that you generate and quality and difficult passes that you make as well, and the low turnover ratio. Josh Giddey is a playmaker when it comes down to it. And then shot making via Coby White being the scorer. And while Coby isn't a shooter, he can shoot, but he's not a shooter. There is some concern about taking him off ball and having his ability to not necessarily generate those buckets like he did before. Now, the thought process is Josh Giddey's going to help make him better. But either way, this backcourt is going to be a backcourt that theoretically pushes the pace, likes to get out in transition. Both are solid rebounding guards in that. Josh Giddey's a really good rebounding guard. Coby has shown flashes of that. And being at 21 and 24 years old, that's still a relatively young backcourt that can still grow together, right? And then you have Ayo Dosunmu, also is kind of, I struggle to put him in the member of the backcourt because I just think Billy Donovan is going to use Ayo Dosunmu in a variety of positions. He's going to play some point. He's going to play some off ball. He may even play some wing. The multi-positional upside of Ayo Dosunmu is great here for him, and that is why he is still going to have a large role. I've seen a lot of Bulls fans over the last couple of days basically complaining that Ayo could be moved to the bench when, like I said, I don't think that all NBA players make as big of a deal being on the bench if they know they're going to have a great role. Ayo was going to play a hugely important role to the Chicago Bulls team. He is going to play multiple positions. He's going to have the ball in his hands and have still the opportunity to push the pace. The question is he going to have enough opportunity to still take the shots that he took? And that's something that we'll end up seeing. But he also offers somebody who can play either next to Josh Giddey or Coby White. We've already seen him play next to Coby White. So I look at that as saying that this is Ayo, at being 24 years old, still a young player, is going to have a hugely important role for the Chicago Bulls team. And then you get into Mattis Bousillis and Patrick Williams. 19 years old for Mattis Bousillis, 22 years old for Patrick Williams. And the thing, a question here is, how much will a quicker pace help both these guys, right? Patrick Williams, a better shooter than Mattis Bousillis, is right now, theoretically, unless Bousillis gets more back to what he shot in high school at over 40%. But Patrick Williams' ability to hit the three-point shot consistently is going to be a big thing here. Now, how many he takes is going to be a question. Both these players are solid passing-wise. Again, Mattis Bousillis has the point forward upside. Some people have talked about Patrick Williams being able to be that eventually as well if he has those opportunities. But again, the quicker pace that this team is at least probably going to play, as long as we're having Josh Giddey and Ayo and what they have done and shown as passers as well, can really help these guys a lot. And as a front court, I'm not saying this is going to be one of the best front courts in the league. I don't even know if this is going to be a front court we see together long term. But if Patrick Williams does re-sign here, which is a question mark, having a front court of players that are 19 and 22 years old, it's really good. And the fact that there's a lot of versatility between those guys as well. We'll talk about the guys that could be backing them up also. But, you know, Bousillis, playmaking, gets out in transition, finishes around the rim, athletic. We've seen Patrick Williams yam it on people as well. We know that he has athleticism, even though he
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Doesn't always use it effectively, and they're both okay rebounders, right? So, you know, that may be the biggest concern there, but again, that's kind of how the things fit together. And then you look at the players whose roles are still going to be defined, right? Dalen Terry, 21 years old, Julian Phillips, 20 years old. Both those guys still have to define exactly who they are at the NBA level. Now, if the Bulls do move on from the core three, and depending on what veterans we get back, they should have an opportunity greater than what they had previously to really show what they've done, especially Dalen Terry. Julian Phillips, who really was showing a lot to me before he went down with injury, once he started getting more minutes, I think you look at him as an energy guy, what he brings, shot blocking wise, getting out in transition, being smart as well, operating in space and defensively. Those are really good players to have, especially coming off the bench for you when you're younger, right? We're not talking about really good to have if you're trying to contend for a playoff win or you know, getting into the second, third round of the playoffs. But these are guys that are going to be defining their roles over the course of the season. And the right behind them, Arnoldo Batim, who we saw a little bit of, and initially he looked really good, kind of fell off. Could have been because of the eye, right? Shooting specifically on a team that really is going to lack three-point shooting. Batim could become important. We got to see if he's actually going to earn that role. And Adama Sanogo at 22 years old as well, the undrafted rookie for last year that really killed the G League, averaging over a double-double and a couple of blocks last year in the G League. I hope he gets an opportunity at the NBA level to play center and to see what he can bring. And then vets, right? I want to talk about this as well. The vets who are going to stay on this team. Javonte Green, maybe. Unrestricted free agent, we don't know yet. Lonzo Ball, still under contract, 26 years old. And Javon Carter, 28 years old as well. And you know how I feel about the ball-headed hoe. I don't like Javon Carter, but it is what it is. So overall, if you remove the big three, not knowing what or if anything we're going to get back for those guys, this is a considerably younger Bulls team. And this is going to be a Bulls team that is going to have to define who and what they are in a lot of ways. Even players like Josh Giddey, still defining who he can be at the NBA level. Kobe White's been around for 5 years, still really defining now that he stepped into a larger role, what kind of scorer he's going to be. All those things play a big part. We know that Patrick Williams is still defining himself. Manus Bousilis hasn't even played an NBA game yet. So this is a roster that still has some really big deficits at it. Not a lot of three-point shooting. If you do move on from Vooch, what's the center position going to look like? Who steps up a lot, right, for this team? Those are all questions that are valid and there, but it seems like the Bulls are going younger, and that's kind of how I see things fitting going forward. We'll see what ultimately comes of it. Now, with that said, before we go, because, of course, draft weekend, we got tons of voicemails. We got three we're going to get into today. It's not an official mailbag episode, but it might be. Let's go ahead and get into this first one. This first one's from TJ.
Hello, what's up, Hayes? It's TJ. I know I'm relatively late when it comes to the Giddey Caruso trade talks and stuff, but honestly, I was just letting it sink in. I was trying to get them a chance to basically make all the moves that they was going to make before I get my final critique. But I've been hearing some rumblings that kind of came to my attention that I feel like I have questions about. So I watched the Bulls talk podcast, like, probably a couple of years ago. I just finished watching it. And one of the things I heard KC talking about was the potential of Giddey and Zach being a perfect pairing or something. But all I was thinking was, how would that even work? Because in my eyes, it would just be a whole repeat, if not worse, of what was happening with Zach LaVine and DeMar. Because now we got DeMar, Zach, and Kobe. DeMar, Zach, Kobe, and Giddey. That's given that they bring everything back. But even if they do find a way to get off of DeMar, Zach, Kobe, and Giddey, like, there's still only one ball. From what I seen last year, Kobe was going crazy on ball. So I would hope that they would have diminished his on ball role even more. And I don't know. Maybe they thinking that Giddey could probably make it all work like Lonzo made it work. I don't know. I just want to hear your opinion on it.
Giddey and Zach being a solid pairing, I've talked about before when that news came out. yes, on paper, that makes sense. But I love that you brought in as well of Kobe, because it's not as simple as just keeping Zach LaVine. What about Kobe? And everything that we've heard from AK, Billy Donovan since the season is that they did not want to make any moves that changes Kobe's role on this team or his opportunities to score. And so because of that, that makes it a little bit confusing, because are you going to move Zach to the three and then play Kobe at the two and Giddy at the one? Like, it's questions there, right? It's not as seamless of a fit. But I think ultimately is that I don't trust Billy Donovan to make it work. I think that the Bulls aren't really planning on making that work. I still think that the Bulls are probably looking to move Zach LaVine hell to high water. I think at the 11th hour, they're going to make whatever the best trade they have on the table and make that trade. But I could be wrong with that. And if they keep Zach, it'll be really, really interesting to see how they balance that all out. But, you know, Kobe deserves to have an opportunity. Now, I don't think Kobe needs the ball in his hands to be effective. He does some, but I think he needs to learn to play off ball as well. And getting somebody as versatile as Kobe and how he can get downhill, playing off ball and consistently moving off the ball, coming off screens and things, to really make that become an easier part of his game. But we know the Bulls don't really play with a lot of off ball movement, so there's definitely concerns there as well. But great voicemail, TJ. Let's get into this next one. This one's from Dion.
Yo, Bobby. Hey, feed up, Big Kev. Shout out to the Cognac boys. It's the man Dion from out west. I just want to touch on something real quick. It's my first time calling in, checking in with you fellas. Huge fan. Watch almost every episode on my way to or from work. Appreciate the content you guys be putting out, man. I just wanted to say something real quick about everybody complaining about this trade for Josh Giggity. Everybody forget the biggest struggle that the Bulls have had in the last couple years is actually defining who our point guard actually is. We spend a lot of time, we got Kobe White, the point guard. Ayo's running the point. Caruso running the point. We don't have a defined point guard, a real playmaker. Somebody whose job is literally just to do that. And every person we try to insert into that role, it wasn't their role. Kobe White was not made to be a playmaker. Kobe White is a bucket getter. Alex Caruso is not made to be a playmaker. He is a defender. At least with Josh Giddey, we finally got somebody who fits a role and a need that's been a voice for the team for the past few years. I don't know why everybody's so mad about it. Yes, we lost Caruso. We talking about Alex Caruso. We are not talking about an all-star caliber player that we gave up for peanuts. We gave up somebody who had a high value that another team could need. That's okay. We even gave up way better people that went on to be better. We gave up Lowry Markkanen, who went out to be great. We gave up Bobby Portis, who ended up winning the championship. Players come and go. But I feel like we finally made a good decision as far as what direction we're going in, where we going with this franchise, and finally got a void field for the team. So I think everybody needs to just relax. Let's see where things gonna go. Be happy we finally decided to do something instead of staying in playoff purgatory forever like we've been the last couple years and accepting being mediocre. But what y'all take on? I think, hey, at least we finally got a void field and we decided, okay, we're not running it back with the same thing we've been running it. But appreciate y'all boys. Much love. Dion from out west. Go Bulls.
Giddey fit in the role of a playmaker. Absolutely. Like, it is what it is. And like you said, I love that you said this, and players come and go. Like, we can't, as a franchise or fan base, want change and then complain when that change isn't exactly what we want. I'm sorry. You got to crack a couple of eggs to make an omelet. And if the Bulls are really looking to reshape this, it means that we're going to lose players that we like. I hate the thing that we do as fans, and I'm putting we because we all do it, is that we think that when we talk about our team and we just focus on getting rid of the players that we don't want. If we don't want them, how many teams do you think really want them? Or if they're playing bad, like, I can't. Everybody's like, we got to by any means get rid of Javon Carter. He has a guaranteed deal. With the way that Javon Carter played last season, who do you really think is going to want Javon Carter, right? Now, if you can package him as part of something else, maybe, but he isn't going to be the thing that's desirable there, right? So we're having trouble moving Zach LaVine. So when it comes down to it, yes, some players come, some players are going to go, and that's what you got to hope for, is that the players that come in, is that this Bulls team puts them in the best situation to where they can thrive and develop. And that is where I have some doubt around this front office, because you just haven't done it at the level that I would have liked to see yet. But hopefully those things are going to change. All right, let's go into the last voicemail for today. This one's from Godo.
Yo, hey, this is Godo, first time caller here, man. So I've been going back and forth all year past talking about Kobe White to my brother. And this year, he finally seen where I was coming from. Now I'm about to be one of the first. I know I'm not the first, because I've been hearing. But Josh Giddey is going to be a nice move. Now, he needs to get his shooting better. Hopefully, he was working on that this summer. But playmaking ability, and able to finish at the rim, great IQ. And then they've seen the potential of Kobe White. Kobe White moving at the two, I felt like he would be a good point guard. But moving him at the two, he's easily going to average 25. Giddey easily going to average 17, 18, 7 to 7. That's how I feel. Between 5 and 7 rebounds, okay. But I'm confident that it's around 17, 18, 7 and 7. And we need to surround him with more shooters. And with Vooch, the Vooch situation, I don't know, because it's kind of hard with the game now. You kind of need a stretch big. He can also rebound, but he doesn't have the versatility to really move to the floor if we was to draft like a Ware or a Klingon. So I don't know. I think their hands is tied with Vooch. I don't see him really going nowhere unless we really, really want a second round pick and we just give him away. And LaVine, I don't think we're going to get a first round pick for LaVine. I think we're going to end up getting an okay piece, maybe a 3-and-D guy and like a second rounder or something, because they got to make up for not getting a pick for Caruso. Like, I would have took a second rounder. Like, all them picks that the Thunder got, you know, I feel like it's going to be about a 2-3 year turnaround to where we can see where they hit it, and then we can shop around and see if we can get a big free agent. But other than that's really my opinion. I feel like the Giddey trade is a good move. We just need to add the right pieces, keep Kobe at the two, let Kobe cook, and then we should be all right. All right, man. That's Gatto, bro.
Josh Giddey, a nice move. You already know. Everybody knows my thoughts on it. As far as the hands being tied with Nikola Vucevic, I've thought that for a long time, but you know, sometimes where there's smoke, there's fire. And hearing that the Bulls are at least looking to shop him, I think that, you know, they're going to try to find what they can find. And we'll end up seeing what comes down with that. I think, the Bulls are moving in a different direction, it seems like, from what we're hearing. But how they execute that new direction is as important as making the decision to move into a new direction. And we'll see what the Bulls get there. As far as getting a first-round pick back for LaVine, we hear different things. Maybe heavily protected. Maybe it's one of those picks where it's like, They do like top 18 protection on it or something like that. I don't know. I have no idea. The Zach LaVine trade market is such a hard one to really gauge via if you listen to all the rumors, because it'll have you thinking one thing one day and a completely different thing another day. At the end of the day, we just got to see what this front office gets back for Zach and hope that is something that helps aid in the new path that they're going. At least that's the way that I'm choosing to view it. But guys, thank you so much for tuning in. Make sure you guys are following the show at Bull Central Pod. You can send us any feedback, questions, comments, concerns, bullcentralpod@gmail.com. And then lastly, if you want to leave a text message and our voicemail for the mailbag, the number to do so, 773-270-2799. We're the number one spot for everything Chicago Bulls related, thanks to you guys. And like I like to end every episode on, go Bulls. Love you guys. See you right if you can, y'all. Peace.
This has been a presentation of the Break Media.